2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 18. Here the Apostle Paul is talking about the ministry to which he had been entrusted, and many of the problems that come with building up the Church of Jesus Christ, and yet how it is that God provides and protects for his own. So let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 7, reading to the end of the chapter. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. With the same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Amen. If you will turn in your Bibles now to the book of Haggai, as we continue going through this minor prophet who has some major things to say. We've been going through this for for about a month and a half now. And we saw in the opening of chapter 1 that God's people, who had been brought back from the land of exile in the Babylonian captivity, are brought back for the specific purpose of building the house of God. And yet this is the very thing that they neglected to do. And so Haggai the prophet came, and in those opening verses 1 through 11 of chapter 1, Haggai calls these people to consider their ways. Why is it that God's house is left in ruins while they're building up their house? And God says that he has intentionally brought many frowning providences upon these people, famine and hardship, because they refused to build the house of God. And under heavy conviction, we see how these people responded. They responded to the message of Haggai as a preacher and a prophet. They responded in faith. They received that word as being true and being the words of God himself. And we considered last time how the Spirit stirred them all up so that they would yield obedience to the word of God. And so at the end of chapter 1, we see a whole people, the high priest and the governor and all the remnant of the people, laboring side by side to begin to build up the house of the Lord their God. But as it often happens in our lives, we find, and we will be reading momentarily, in chapter 2, a new obstacle is put in the way of these people. And where Haggai once came and rebuked them in strong terms, this time Jehovah, through the prophet, speaks great words of encouragement to his people. So we're going to read this morning from Haggai chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. We're not going to get through everything in these verses, but we'll return to it, Lord willing, next week. But for now, let us hear the word of God. Let us hear it and receive it in both faith and in love. On the 21st day of the seventh month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Speak to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people. Ask them, who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing? But now be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work. For I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and the desired of all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. If you'd bow with me in a word of prayer. Lord, we love you too much, and we fear you too greatly to meddle with and to tamper with your word. And so we pray this morning, as we are all made hearers of this word, that we would hear it in faith, that we would receive it not as the words of men, but as the word of God, which it is. And Lord, we do pray that you would make good upon your promise to bless the preaching of your word, to the gathering and the perfecting of the saints. Guard our lips from speaking any untrue thing about you. Guard our ears from hearing any unworthy thing about the Lord our God, the Lord Almighty. Superintend these minutes as we consider your word, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, I really have one goal in mind in coming and preaching to you. The one goal that I have in mind is to encourage discouraged saints. To encourage discouraged people of God. In a fallen world like the one in which we live, it seems that discouragement really just comes natural to every area of our lives. I'm discouraged with my spouse right now, you might say, or I'm discouraged with my children, or with my job, or with the education that I'm getting, or I'm discouraged about my body, or whatever it is. Discouragement abounds in every corner of our lives, so that it just seems to come so natural to us. When things don't go our way, when things don't meet the expectations that we have, we become discouraged. And being Christians, being those who have professed Christ, we are in no way exempt from the discouragements of life. We too deal with them in a very real way, and this is especially true when we think about the work of the Church of Jesus Christ. When we think about what it means for us as a body to build up the house of God, this spiritual temple of which Christ is the head, we are oftentimes so discouraged at what we see. And that shouldn't surprise us, brothers and sisters. The work of the kingdom and the work of the gospel is a work of faith. And so that means that we don't always see with our eyes what's going on. The work of the kingdom is hard work. It is a work that is far beyond our capabilities as mortal men and women. And so it's easy to become discouraged when you consider how hard it is and how far beyond us it is. The work of the kingdom is opposed on all fronts in this hostile world and culture and society in which we live, so that it is so easy for us to slip into this spirit of discouragement. And in addressing this congregation this morning, I wonder if there are any here among us who can relate with the people of Judah. Because as you can see, as quickly as these people began working, their determination is matched, and we may even say overpowered, by the discouragement that they felt in the work that they were doing. If you look at verses 3 and 4, God asks of them, "Who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing?" You see, what's going on here is that these people have been called to build up the house of God, to build this temple, and God is singling out here for us, as most commentators agree, the discouragement that is now dominating their hearts. Who saw this house in its former glory? Is what Jehovah is asking these people. Who saw that glorious house that Solomon himself had built? And now as you look at this house as it lies in ruins, well, what does it look to you? Is it as nothing to you compared to the former glory that this house was? You see, these people are discouraged because what they see with their eyes doesn't meet their expectations. If we were to take time this morning to turn to the other prophets, particularly Jeremiah and Ezekiel, we would see that both of these prophets prophesied that the second temple would be far more glorious and it would outshine the house that Solomon had built, that house that King Solomon had built with all of his regal splendor and kingly riches. And these people are expecting that kind of a house. And yet, when they look at the rubble, when they look at the desolation, what is it that they have? All they have is a slab of stone for a foundation. And without as many resources, without as many treasures, they're commanded, get building. And build the rubble that you now see with your eyes into an edifice that is worthy of Jehovah. And so as they remember past glory, and we're going to get into that, Lord willing, more next week, but as they remember the past glory of this house, and as they come to deal with the reality of their situation, they are so discouraged because what they are doing seems to them to be as nothing. You can almost hear them and imagine them complaining to one another as they work under the sun, as they're reminded that they were brought forth from exile back into their land, and complaining what a mighty little thing it was that God had done in returning them here to rebuild this house. What a mighty little thing God seems to be commanding them, because all they have is a bunch of rubble. And yet, the prophet Haggai comes with a message of encouragement. "But now be strong, O Zerubbabel," declares the Lord. "Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work, for I am with you." You see, what God is telling His people is, be obedient. Get to work and leave your discouragements to me. I'm asking you to be obedient, not to be hampered down by all your discouragements. Work, for I am with you, says the Lord. Well, what an appropriate word this is for us today. As we too are called to build the house of God, as we are called to build up the temple of Jesus Christ, which is His church. Because as we've already said, you'll find that in the building of the church, discouragement seems to prevail everywhere. And so in preaching this morning, let me point out 4 discouragements that we face in building the house of the Lord, the church of Jesus Christ, and counter each of those discouragements with gospel encouragement. I intend this morning to encourage the discouraged. So, my beloved fellow believers, the words of our text may be used to acknowledge in the first place that discouragement may come when you consider the enormity of the task, the enormity of the task of building the church. As that old saying goes, these people who were brought back from exile to rebuild the house of God really had their work cut out for them. If you think for a moment of what the temple was, and what the temple was to look like and what it was to be, or if you think and are reminded, even as God reminds His people here, what is it that the first temple looked like? What is it that went into the building and the construction of that temple? What resources, what manpower, what riches and gold and silver? That first temple was an achievement of humanity in some ways, but more than that, it truly was a work of God. It was a massive building, and it was ornate and it was beautiful in every sense of the word. That first temple, which had been built at the height of the Davidic kingdom. But what did these people have? These people in Haggai's day had a destroyed house, a temple that had been pulled down by the Babylonians and turned to absolute rubble. These people didn't have a kingdom in its most thriving height, but they had a demolished kingdom that had been shattered by the enemies of God's people. And yet the Lord Almighty looks at them and He says, build. Build. And if you come to grasp what God is telling them, it is really an overwhelming thought. He's not setting them to build a small shack. He's not setting them to build a small house, but He's saying, I want you to build a house that is worthy of me, that is worthy of my presence and my name and my glory and my gospel. It's an overwhelming thought, and undoubtedly these people became discouraged as they looked around the barren wasteland that was once their homeland. And God says, I want you to take that and I want you to build it up. How discouragement must have weighed them down. And I want to ask you this morning, are you one such saint who, when you look at the immensity of the work of the Church of Jesus Christ, are you overwhelmed? Are you overwhelmed by what it means to build the church? Because if you're not, you need to be. Building the Church of Jesus Christ together, as we have been called to do, is an overwhelming task. It is an immense task. It is an enormous task. Because as the Church of Jesus Christ and as God's people, you and I have been called to build up upon the heap of destruction that has been brought about by the fall of humanity. And we're called to build up the rubble. We're called to look at a world that is destroyed by sin and to build it up for the sake of Jesus Christ and for His glory. We are called to look at the fallen mass of humanity who loves their sin so much, so many, countless of them are willing to pursue their sins to the bottom of hell. And you and I are called to say, come and be fellow citizens of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. The work of building up the church is a work of great and immense and enormous proportions. We are called to build the church, brothers and sisters, by raising the dead and giving life. We are called to build the church by turning stones into flesh. We are called to build the church by giving sight to the blind and giving the ability to hear to the deaf. We are called to build the church by enlightening darkened hearts and turning rebels into children and sinners into saints. You see, it's nothing less than that that builds the church of Jesus Christ, and it is an enormous task. And if your heart has been gripped by that reality, and if you understand what we're being called to do as the church of Jesus Christ, then I think we could all hear echoing and reverberating through every heart in this room that question that the Apostle Paul asked, who is sufficient for these things? Who is sufficient? Who is sufficient to take up the work of building the church of Jesus Christ? The task is great because the house we're building is not a house for men, but for the Lord God. And we all have to come to terms with that question, who can bear that task? Could Atlas, whom the pagan myths of old tell us bore the world upon his shoulders, could even he hold up the weight of building the church? No way. It is an immense task that we have been called to do. And when we begin to wrestle with that and realize that, discouragement comes in and it grips our hearts. Who am I to build a house for the Lord? Who are we to build up the kingdom of Jesus Christ? But I offer a word of encouragement this morning. The Lord says to you, discouraged saint, be strong and work, for I am with you. And you see that message and that note of encouragement breaks into all of our discouragement as we consider the enormity of the task before us. God is seeking to encourage us by reminding us that we are not asked to shoulder this work by ourselves. We are not asked to do this work on our own, but God says, be strong, for I am with you. And what was it that Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 16 as he's commissioning them to build the church? It is upon this rock that I will build my church. Jesus is saying, you're not alone in this. You're not alone as my disciples in building the church, but I am building with you, or rather, more appropriately, we are building with Jesus Christ. There is one who has gone before us, who is the master builder, and he himself is sufficient for the task of building the church of Jesus Christ. And God wants our focus and our eyes to not be directed to the enormity of the task, but to the enormity of Jesus Christ and his ability to build his own church. And under him and by his direction, we are called to take up the enormous task of building the house of God. You're building with me, Jesus says, so be strong and work. But notice another thing this morning, that discouragement is often produced by the slowness of progress. By the slowness of progress. In some ways, the prophet Haggai is very detailed and he's very exact. And we haven't taken any time to point this out, but one of the details that he is continually pointing out in this book for us is the chronology of events. Multiple times, we are informed not just that the Lord spoke to his people, but the date and the day and the month that he came and spoke. And so at the end of chapter 1, verse 15, God had come and they set themselves to work on the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of King Darius. That is a great detail. And you'll notice how chapter 2 then opens. On the 21st day of the seventh month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. And these details, this detailed timeline, instructs us and informs us of how quickly God's people can be turned from obedience to disobedience, from being encouraged to build the house of God to being weighed down by discouragement less than 4 weeks. Less than 4 weeks ago, God had come to them and encouraged them, and they had set themselves to building the house of God. And within 4 weeks, they're devastated by discouragement. 4 weeks of building a temple. And remember, back when they would have built this, they wouldn't have the tools and the machinery that we would. And so progress was very slow in building this physical structure. Within 4 weeks, these people are drowning in discouragement because the temple that they are building doesn't look like the temple that Solomon built that took him 7 years to build. Do you get that? Within 4 weeks. And they want results. And they think about the former glory of the temple that took 7 years to put into place. And they grow discouraged. Here we've been working for 4 weeks and this house seems to us as if it is nothing. You see, they're discouraged because they're driven by a desire for instant gratification. And when instant gratification is the impelling force of the way in which we conduct ourselves, when instant gratification is that thing that drives us and it doesn't deliver, disappointment and discouragement is the inevitable result. They want instant progress. They don't see it. So what happens? They get discouraged. Is there any point in us continuing to build this house? Dear brothers and sisters, kingdom building is slow work. To build the kingdom of Jesus Christ and his church is slow work. Because we are not simply building a lean-to or a hodgepodge shack. But we are building a kingdom. We are building a kingdom beginning with a house that is suitable, as Paul says, to be a habitation for the Lord by his Spirit. When Jesus Christ commands us, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Jesus didn't intend that work to simply take a day or two. Or to simply take a week or 4 weeks or even a year. But what Jesus intends is that through all of our life, in all of our living, every single day that God has given you in and out, moment by moment, you are to be seeking first the kingdom of God. That's what it takes to be a disciple in the city of our God, in his kingdom. Moment by moment, every single day, seeking first his kingdom. The heart isn't transformed and renewed in a single day. You know that. Marriages aren't lived in the first 5 years, and after 5 years you can throw your hands up and say, we've reached it. We've reached the pinnacle of perfection in our marriage. I've got the best wife, or I've got the best husband, and everything is perfect. No. You spend your whole life working on your marriage. From the moment you say, I do, to the moment you die, you are seeking to build up your marriage. Or those of you who are parents, you know that when your children turn 18, you don't just send them out the door and say, well, I finished my work with them. No, from the moment you find out that your wife has conceived, to the moment you die, you're on your knees praying for your children. You're always seeking to instruct them and impart wisdom to them. And you see, brothers and sisters, the reality is that's what the work of the church is as well. It's not a work we take up for a day or two. It's not a work that we take up for a couple of years. It is a work that we give ourselves to day in and day out, recognizing and acknowledging that sin isn't conquered in a day, that holiness doesn't grow in leaps and bounds, and that we don't instantaneously know everything that we ought to know. But the work of building up the church is grueling. It takes time. And the results most often seem to us invisible and undiscernible. But if you're driven by a desire for instant gratification, and that is the impelling force that gets you to live the Christian life and to seek the kingdom of God, then I assure you, if you want everything now, you're going to be gripped by discouragement. Kingdom building is slow building. But for a word of encouragement this morning, the Lord says, be strong and work, for I am with you. And you see, that promise dispels our need for instant gratification. God is saying, I'm with you. I'm not just with you today. I'll be with you tomorrow morning when you wake up and get ready for work. I'll be with you a week from now, and a month from now, and 10 years from now. Be strong and work because I'm with you. God isn't saying I'm only with you when your day goes well and you're having a good day. But He's saying I'm with you in the bad days. Not only with you when you're on the mountaintop experience, but as you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, be strong and work on because I am with you. And what has He given us to remind us? Not only to remind us, but to make good on this promise, He's given us His Spirit, who is with us now and who will be with us forever. Every single moment, He is with us. And you see, as slow as this kingdom building might be in our individual lives, as slow as it might be in this congregation, as slow as it may seem to us, we labor on with that promise. He's with us. So that faith can say, I don't care how long it takes. I don't care how long it takes. If it takes 1 year, if it takes 5 years, if it takes 12 years, if it takes 60 years to build the church of Jesus Christ, it is of no matter to me because God is with me every single step of the way. Jesus said to His church as He left, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So the slowness of progress is countered by this great encouragement, I am with you. But still, discouragement can also be cultivated by those who oppress. It's our third point this morning. Discouragement can also be cultivated by those who oppress. One of the things that we need to remember as we read the book of Haggai is really the hostile environment that Judah was trying to flourish in. The world in which Judah is living at this time during the prophet is a world that is incredibly hostile to the people of God. Of course, they had just been forced out of their homes decades before and banished to a foreign land under their rule and their control of the Babylonian monarchy. They were exiled to that foreign land under a power who would have detained them if they could have forever, had God himself not intervened. The people of Judah are facing this massive empire, the Babylonian kingdom, and so great and so powerful and so wicked is this kingdom that God, in Jeremiah 51, as he is pronouncing judgment against the Babylonians, calls this nation a destroying mountain. A mountain of opposition, he says in Jeremiah 51, verse 25. Behold, I am against you, O destroying mountain. That is the nation of Babylon. I am against you, O destroying mountain, declares the Lord, which destroys the whole earth. You see, the point of this is that these people faced massive opposition. They faced an opponent who was so great and so large that it could only be compared to a destroying mountain who sought to destroy the whole earth. That's what is opposing these people as they give themselves to the work of building the house of God. And we can only imagine this morning the discouragement that gripped their hearts in the face of all this opposition. Here is an enemy who is bigger than us. Here is an enemy who is stronger than us. Here is an enemy that is more fierce than we. What are we? We're a ragtag band, a remnant of a people who have been exiled to a foreign land. And all this opposition is coming against them and it's pouring down upon them so that undoubtedly they are a people who are discouraged. And brothers and sisters, if you've done a day's labor for the kingdom of Jesus Christ, then you know how opposed the world is to the work that we do. The church is opposed on all sides by a world that is hell-bent on her destruction. Ungodly men who seek ungodly purposes, who seek to enact ungodly laws to oppress the church of Jesus Christ. We live surrounded on all sides by a hostile society who, in the name of open-mindedness, tells Christians you just need to shut up. We don't want to hear your thoughts. You keep your religion private. We face a culture that is adverse to the cause of Jesus Christ, a culture that revels in lasciviousness, a culture that trumpets and makes bold in their sins, seeking to oppress the church of Jesus Christ. We live in a day and age which is dominated by entertainment, which is godless through and through. And we live in a day where pleasure and all kinds of carnal pleasures are exalted at the expense of righteousness and holiness. The whole world, all ungodly men, all ungodly women, and political systems and societies and cultures are against the church of Jesus Christ. And if you have labored a day for the sake of Christ, you know the crushing weight of opposition. No, you and I in America do not gather together and do the work of Christ under the threat of the sword like so many of our brothers and sisters across the globe. But the web of idolatry that is spinning itself all around us is like death itself. So that every day Christians feel within themselves the weight of this oppression, this destroying mountain of our society who seeks to destroy the work of God in the building of the church of Jesus Christ. And they would seek to kill us with discouragement. But for a word of encouragement, the Lord says, be strong and work, for I am with you. I am with you. I call upon faith this morning to remember the words of Jesus. Don't fear the one who can kill your body. Fear the one who can cast you body and soul into hell. Jesus is saying, don't even go there. Don't fear men. Don't fear the world, no matter all the opposition that they give you. I call upon faith this morning to remember the words of Jesus in John 16:33, where he tells his disciples, in the world you will have troubles. But take heart. I have overcome the world. I can't even fathom what that means this morning. Jesus says, I have overcome the world. I've overcome it. I've overcome society, and I've overcome cultures, and I've overcome the ungodly kings and queens and princes who sit so comfortably upon their thrones. I've overcome it all, Jesus says, so that the church can labor on, not in discouragement, but in the greatest encouragement, because Jesus has overcome. He has overcome all opposition so that we can be free to build the church of Jesus Christ in a world that is hostile and in a world that is opposing us, so that we by faith can say, if God is for us, then who can be against us? I will fear no man. You see the encouragement that the Lord gives us to work on and to labor on and to not be discouraged in the building up of the church of Jesus Christ. And finally this morning, discouragement can arise when Satan himself seeks to destroy the church. Discouragement can arise when Satan himself seeks to destroy the church. The people of Judah in Haggai's time show irrefutable evidence of Satan's handiwork. Who cannot see at work in these verses the work of Satan himself? In the previous delay of these people in building, and in their present discouragement, in their desires for external greatness, for all of their lingering questions, who can't see through their fears and their weaknesses and their doubts and their despair the pervasive work of the great enemy of Jesus Christ, Satan himself? Peter reminds us in 1 Peter 5:8, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. And I wonder this morning if we spend enough time thinking about that reality in a world that is increasingly scientific and materialistic, we begin to lose sight of the fact that there is waging in the spiritual realms an irreconcilable war. That there are principles and there are principalities and there are thrones and there are dominions who exalt themselves above Jesus Christ. Satan, we are told in Scripture, is the prince of the air and the power of this present darkness. And as he worked in the day of Haggai, so he continues to work today, prowling around, seeking to devour the church of Jesus Christ, seeking to devour our zeal, seeking to devour our passion and our discipline, to snatch away our eagerness and our desires to steal away our steadfastness and our profession of faith, and everywhere, in every corner where Christ is proclaimed, you can be sure that Satan is there inciting and exciting sin. Sin intended to tear down the house that we are trying to build. The sins of bitterness and of anger and of gossip and of factions. And Satan works all these to dazzle us with discouragement. He seeks to dazzle us with discouragement, and he is always doing his utmost to hinder the work of God. And sadly, we see everlasting memorials of this fact. We see and we behold and we know those who once made a profession of faith have shipwrecked their faith. Not as helpless victims, but as willing accomplices to Satan himself. Not that they lost their salvation, but they have been proved to be what they are, children of the devil. And we see that, and it's so discouraging. We see apostasy. We see many denominations who once held high the rights of King Jesus now slipped into total apostasy, where there is no talk of the crown rights of King Jesus. We see men and women and family members and friends who have abandoned the Church of Jesus Christ and the profession they once made when they were young. And we see reigning there spiritual death, where once we thought spiritual life reigned. And it is so discouraging. And when you come to terms with that and you begin to wrestle with that reality, then the great fear is, the question that we all ask ourselves is, why not me? What about me? Will I prove to be one of those who will shipwreck their faith and not continue? And discouragement abounds. But for a word of encouragement, the Lord says to you, be strong and work, for I am with you. I am with you, God says. Brothers and sisters, if Christ walked right next to you day by day, I would think that none of you would have cause to fear a million enemies. And yet Christ is with you. And he is present with you day by day by his Spirit. And John, the Apostle John, reminds us that he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And the master builder, Jesus Christ, says, on this rock I will build my church. And not only will men not stand to oppose it, but he says what? He says the gates of hell shall never prevail against her. Brothers and sisters, those words have more force and more power in them than all the created power of heaven and earth and hell. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall never prevail. Be strong and work, for I am with you. Oh, my friends, what Haggai is calling these people to, and what the Spirit is calling us to this morning, is to know and to acknowledge your strength. Your strength as the Church of Jesus Christ. Because when faith begins to grasp that, and faith stands to own it and to claim it, then there's no more room for discouragement. As that great preacher once said, O Church of God, believe thyself invincible, and thou art invincible. But stay to tremble and fear, and thou art undone. Lift up thy head and say, I am God's daughter, I am Christ's bride. Do not stand to prove it, but affirm it. March through the land, and kings and princes shall bow down before thee, because thou hast taken thine ancient prowess and assumed thine ancient glory. Haggai is saying, be strong. Remember your source of strength. In the midst of all of your discouragements, with every discouragement that confronts you in the building of the kingdom and in the building of the house, let every discouragement be overcome by the unassailable argument of God, be strong and work, for I am with you. That's a promise of God to His people. That's a promise of God to us this morning. And it is sin to refuse that. It is sin not to believe that and to own that and to be convinced of that. I am with you. So be strong. And don't be discouraged. Brothers and sisters, get faith and resolution for this great work. And with hearts filled with faith, get on in obedience to the Word and the Spirit. As David reminded his son Solomon, as Solomon prepared to build the temple, take courage and do not let your hands be weak, for your works shall be rewarded. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for your immutable promises, that as you are a God who does not change, so your word is eternal and unchanging. And as you promised your people of old, so you promise us today that you are with us. So, Lord, give us faith. Give us the sure confidence that this word is true, and help us in the midst of all our discouragements in building the kingdom of Jesus Christ, to lay hold of this promise for our encouragement and for our benefit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.